Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Of course, I want to hear from you, so give me a holler, 347-826-7435. That is call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to give me a call, don't worry. You can email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Your questions, comments, concerns, they are always of interest to me. I always like to hear how your mind works, because I know how mine works. It's, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, crazy sometimes, but in a logical way. Can you be logically crazy? Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, social network with me. If you go to Facebook, I have a Smooth Drama page. Myself or Mr. J will add you to the Smooth Drama group. Also, I've got Twitter, Instagram. Check me out. Follow me. I'll follow you back, even though some of y'all, I don't know about following y'all back. And I'm going to say this. I think I may lead. I'm not trying to boost myself up. But I swear, if I get another imaginary porn site, you know, those people that, hey, check out my video, trying to friend request me, it's like, oh, come on. Really? In every friend request, you know, I always say, hey, you want to come on my show and talk about how you like to put your booty in people's faces? And nobody ever answers back. I ask the same question every time. Hey, would you like to come on my show and tell me why you like to put your booty in people's faces? And they never answer back. I'm kind of hurt by that, actually. You know, I was already shook by the fact that they caught Peter James, a.k.a. the white dude that was pretending like he was a Nigerian royal trying to share $30 million with me. So it's kind of upsetting that I can't get a real person to actually friend request me anymore. Speaking of that, I think we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. What can I do you for?
What's up, man? I am much smooth man. All right.
All right. Did you have a question, comment, concern? Are you just
just coming in, bro?
What was you hitting on?
All right. Well, I holler back on you, and then, you know, if you want to get back in, I'll pull you back in. All right. All right. So, first and foremost, this is the Hello Show. Yeah, there's some things that just don't make sense, but we say hello to it anyway and welcome it into the world. Like, they did a biopic on a Tonya Harding movie, and then they asked Nancy Kerrigan about it, and you know, what is she gonna say? Like, yeah, that shit is hot. It's like, what would, and if you don't know the story, Nancy Kerrigan was a skater, one of those figure skaters, and Tonya Harding was this figure skater. Nancy Kerrigan was kicking Tonya Harding's ass. Tonya Harding came in second like 4 or 5 times in a row, couldn't beat her. So she sent her cousin, allegedly, boyfriend, one of them, and they hit Nancy Kerrigan in the kneecaps. Now, because Tonya Harding was not known for her intellect, she sent people that people actually knew was always with her. So when they were together again, you know, they're like, hey, that's the dude that hit me in the knee, you know, because the film, the clip that always showed back in the days when that happened was Nancy Kerrigan on the ground, why, screaming. And it's because Tonya Harding couldn't beat her, so if I can't beat her, I'm going to have somebody beat her so that I can be in first place. Because, you know, figure skaters are not the smartest people on the face of the earth. They're kind of dumb, right? So to send somebody to beat somebody because you can't beat them, you know, it's kind of pussy. But being that Tonya Harding was a woman, she was already pussy. If that makes sense. Anyway, but the fact they made a movie about that, and I'm like, did people actually watch that? Did people give Tonya Harding, because, you know, they made it like she was the victim. You know, she had the bad parenting, abusive parents, whatnot. They're like, what that got to do with her sending somebody to beat on Nancy Kerrigan because she couldn't beat her? It's still a whole move. I had zero interest in watching the movie because it's like, she did a whole move. Instead of just getting your shit right and beating the person that's beating you, did the whole move. And if you don't know what the whole move is instead of making yourself the best that you can be to go at your nemesis to beat him, you cheat. It's sort of like, and I know this is sacrilege because I'm in the Bay Area, it's sort of like what Kevin Durant did when he left OKC to come to Golden State. Now, yes, it was the best move for him. But, you know, historical precedent. Michael Jordan didn't make the finals for 7 years because they kept getting beat by Boston. Then they kept getting beat by Detroit. He didn't say, you know what, we ain't never going to beat Detroit. I'm going to go sign with Detroit so I can get to the finals. No. They just kept getting better. And when they whooped on Detroit's ass, it was, and then they went on and beat the hell out of everybody else. They ran the league for a little bit. But before that, Detroit kept losing to Boston. They beat Boston. Ran the league for, it was one of those things, Isaiah Thomas, we couldn't beat Boston, so I'm going to go sign with Boston. It's sacrilege, but it's the whole move. Instead of going, you know, beat the man, he joined the man. It's like, it's sort of like selling out. And so when I see this and I see the Tonya Harding movie, it's like the ultimate sellout movie, but it's not starring a house Negro or a super Negro. It is starring a white woman. You know, you're like, really? This is where it's at? We making sellout movies now. But we trying to make the sellout look appealing to the public. Like, oh, look at how hard their life was. They were beaten. They were bruised. They were emotionally scarred. So
when they made themselves a champ, well, when they couldn't get over the hump, what they did was they resorted to the kind of bullshit that they said was bad for them.
I don't feel sorry for the bully. So when the bully loses, you're not supposed to, like, make a movie about him. He's about to say, fuck you, bully. At least that's in my vocabulary. But I could be wrong, and some folks may think of something else. I mean, it's sort of like there was a little article about 50 Cent. And he was explaining how Kanye West and Donald Trump are similar and why Jay-Z's 444 is golf course music. Now, we know 50 Cent, that's kind of how he came out. That's how he started off dissing folks, so people will start talking about him. But it's like, at this point, dude, you're rich. You don't have to do that no more. You know, you talk about, oh, well, Kanye's not. I mean, you ain't. I'm of the opinion. You don't have to pick on Kanye West no more. He with a Kardashian. His shit is over. His whole career is, he's done, right? You know, once you fuck Kardashian, your career is done. Look at Ray J. Ray J ain't done nothing since he's the one that broke her out. His career died first. He didn't even get a chance to get famous. You know, we already know about Tristan Thompson. James Harden was terrible. Had a terrible year. Ever since he broke up, he's been an MVP candidate. And Kanye West, you already know Bruce Jenner didn't even want to be a man no more. I mean, and then I guess they broke up, and it's like he's like going back and forth between being a man and a woman, which basically is what these dudes do anyway. But point being, you ain't got picking on Kanye West. He's already done. And talking about Jay-Z, Jay-Z's album is talking down to the young generation, and he says, as hip-hop culture is connected to youth culture, an album full of grown man stuff is no good. So, basically, he's saying Jay-Z should make kiddie music like you. You know, because apparently 50 Cent makes kiddie music, and he's comfortable with that as a grown-ass man. Chew on that for a second. He says, grown man music is no good. And, of course, when he says golf course music, it's like, come on, man. Nobody, I mean, the people on the golf course listening to it is, you know, because we know white folks listen to black folks' music anyway. But the fact that you say, oh, yeah, it's golf course music, like, it's for white people only. No. Stop that. It's probably the blackest album that's come out in a long time. Let me say blackest album. It's like culturally conscious. Unlike anything that 50 Cent ever put out. I mean, you love his show Power. All the terrible stuff about Power involves him. A man burned all, you know, 50 degree burns, third degree burns all over his body. But now his skin is not like falling off. He's like looking perfect. He killed his son, no regrets, but he didn't kill his enemy. So there's a whole bunch. Everything that's about 50 Cent in the show is the fugazi part. Then there's probably, if we get rid of the 50 Cent parts, because we know it's like, he's like, nah, you can't write me out. And that's why they have them parts that just don't make sense in the show, because his ass got to be in it. Instead of just getting the money, starring something else, but ego will make the whole show go down because he's built like that. And he's sitting up there talking about people who are quite frankly better than him, which is what he's always done. So I guess there's no change there. The more things change, the more they stay the same. He's a rich dude, still trying to live off somebody else's name by talking about it. It's not going. There's no turnaround, 50. You put out an album, nobody's gonna buy it. I promise you. Because you didn't buy your first one, even though it was hot. On that note, I probably should just go on break, and I think I will. And I was talking. I'm just this is just gonna be a Jean Grey night because I'm feeling I'm feeling hip hopish. So this is Jean Grey, love song.
Ooh, that was wrong.
Cold, packed up her things and leaves behind what I thought was gold. only gold plated. Thinking of all the other ones I could have just left and up and dated. Singled after 4 years, starting over is never easy, but it takes some time to realize your own worth. Come into your own, play a mental rebirth. She starts penning some better poems, straighten up a bank account, likes to take herself out. I'm getting better at it. I've had a few relationships, but still too young and dumb enough to call it quits. It's still a love song. Person, learn a set of looking to nub in all the wrong places like I'm Eddie Murphy. Curse me to repeat the same cycle I'm breaking. No longer think relations make a better woman, just for life I'm pursuing. Growing but hopelessly romantic still. Tasted weather in the bitter climates, love the sunshine better. Dreaming of dream proposal decent, moral values placing higher on my chart. Trying not to have a shallow heart, but battle scars are deep and reaching to the depths of hell and back. Trying to give up the grudges, think it's experience and move from the clutches of sadness. Difficult. Sometimes I wish I wasn't an adult, adolescent, prime time, sitcom star. I've been too far and too much, too hard for too long. Still a love song.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Jean Grey, love song. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, the call-in number is 347-826-7435. That actually is her second longest song. She makes them 6-minute songs where she just rapped the whole damn song. It's kind of crazy. My favorite song of hers is the Haters Anthem. I'm gonna have to dig that one up. I haven't played or even heard that one in a while. It's like a six minute song of her saying "fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I hate you all." Anyway, I just love it for some reason. I don't know. My old co-host was like, that's a harsh song. I'm like, yeah, you need some harshness in the world. Anyway, once again, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, now, everybody was tripping, right? Remember when everybody was tripping off a H&M hoodie? Like, oh my God, how you gonna have the coolest monkey in the jungle? The black boy. Everybody was tripping off it like H&M. I was like, fuck H&M, but I didn't even know that company existed until he came out with that. And I was like, oh. So I had to look him up, like, who the fuck is H&M? What they make? Oh, yeah, I would never buy none of that dumb shit anyway. But I guess it didn't matter because, you know, everybody was talking about it. And then the mama came out. She's like, the mama's like, well, hey, I'm the mom, and this is one of hundreds of outfits my son has modeled. Stop crying wolf all the time. Unnecessary issue here. Get over it. her name, Terry Mango. And, you know, she took social media, like, said it's unnecessary. Why are y'all tripping? You know, my son bringing home them checks. Don't mess it up for me. I'm trying to get paid off my son's back, like all the people who exploit their kids for money. She's like, y'all gonna make it hard for him to bring me home some money. What am I gonna do? My name's Terry Mango. Obviously, nobody's gonna hire me, so I gotta pimp my kid out. And y'all trying to get in the way of that. Part of the game is that. You know, she said, you know, because when people were talking about where the parents at, she's like, look, I was at all the shoots, all the photo shoots. What y'all talking about? Yeah, they told me they was going to put the coolest monkey sweatshirt on right when they gave me the check. So I'm like, sure, you wear that shit, no problem. I mean, if you would have put, if they would have gave, hi, I'm a House Negro t-shirt, probably would have put that on too. They probably already had put that out. It's just before they got famous. I mean, because I'm a guess that you probably would have a whole bunch of sellout Negroes who would wear that, hey, I'm a House Negro shirt. Probably be like a bestseller here in America. No problem. The House Negroes is proud. You know, because now they went from House Negroes to Super Negroes. They got capes. So, you know, it's right here. You know, and I'll go on to say, because she, Miss Mango, goes on to say, I really don't understand, but not cause, COZ. Not cause am not choosing not to, but because it's not my way of thinking. Sorry. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion about this. Y'all worrying about black folks' negative image, and I'm worried about my son getting me this paper. That's where we at. So, for all of y'all that was up in arms over H&M and whether or not they were exploiting black folks, nope. Nope. The little boy's mama is a straight up sellout Negro. She's like, I don't think like that. I don't what he was. If they gave him a clown outfit, I'll tell him wear the clown outfit. If they gave him a Klan outfit, I tell him wear the Klan outfit. I don't give the checks. The checks, son. The cash. They don't bounce. All that other stuff don't even matter. That's what we're talking about, right? I thought it was hilarious myself. People made a big deal. Mom was like, fuck what y'all talking about. Trip. Get out the way. Move, bitch. Get out the way. Cashing this check. Get out the way. Move, bitch. Cashing this check. Anyway, I'm going to go to my dumbass of the week. All right. Who is my dumbass of the week? My dumbass of the week is a cracker ass cracker named Harley Barber. She's a member of the Alpha Phi sorority on Instagram. And she said in an interview with the New York Post that she was expelled from school following an incident where she bust out on Instagram on video. Well, she was like, you know what? I love how I act like I love black people because I hate N-words, unquote. And in the second video, she addressed the backlash from her first video. Like, you know what? I've always wanted to be an Alpha Phi since high school, and nobody understands how much I love Alpha Phi. Alpha Phi! Love them. I'm a cracker-ass cracker. I love Alpha Phi. Anyway. And now somebody wants to save my Finsta because I said the N-word. You know what? N-word. I don't care. It's Martin Luther King Day. That's what she said. And then she came out after the she got the threatening phone call. And they shipped her ass out to back to New York after they kicked out of school. I feel horrible. I feel so bad, and I am so sorry. To which I would say to Ms. Barber, fuck you. It's cold in Alabama, but I know it's colder in New York. And you're not an alpha. I mean, you're probably going to get into Alpha Psi, whatever the fuck. Alpha Phi, Alpha Psi, doo-doo dog, whatever. Anyway, yeah. She is my dumbass of the week. I'm proud of her. I'm glad you got that out your system. You didn't care it was MLK Day. How's New York, homie? Harley Barber. We love you too, Harley. I'm not wishing violence on you, but if something was to hit you, whether it be lightning or a car, I can't say, and maybe just a video game car, right? Maybe it'd be like that part two to that Black Mirror episode where the guy had all the people that he didn't like that was dissing him in the office, he put their ass in his clone universe on the video game and just treated them like dirt. And if they didn't love on him, he'd take away their mouths. They didn't have no sex organs. It was just like, it was like hell. It's like, you imagine you trapped in somebody else's video game nightmare. You can't get out. You got no, I mean, I was just sitting up there. I watched it. It was like, they were like pulling down their pants. She's like, oh, don't do that. He's like, what? No, in this universe, we don't have dicks. Look at yours. And, you know, she look at hers. I have no vagina. And it's like, I was like, man, that right there. I mean, and there's no way you can kill his ass. Because he's omnipotent in the universe. And so that, I wish that on Harley. I don't. Publicly, privately, amongst us, don't tell nobody, amongst us, if Harley Barber had some bad stuff to happen to her, I wouldn't be sad, right? Maybe what could happen is, because I heard something, there's a new drug that the police are issuing warnings about. It's called Rizzy. Apparently, heroin is being mixed with Rizzy, R-I-Z-Z-Y, and Rizzy is like, you don't get the nod from heroin, because you know most heroin junkies, you know, aside from the itching and in the middle of the conversation, they just fall asleep on your ass. It you fall asleep and it makes your flesh get eaten away. So maybe you can pass some of that on to Harley. I'm not saying that publicly. I'm just talking between you and I. Don't tell nobody. It's a secret. Okay, it's a secret. So, yeah. I guess the Rizzy powder is the latest thing to be added. added to heroin, whatever. And I'm guessing that they'll probably add the Rizzy powder into whatever. If you smoking, you smoking that weed and you got that Rizzy powder, your lips just go away. So you want them black people with just those luscious lips. And, you know, your lips just go away. Now, for some of you who are sitting up here like, you know what? Maybe I want to lose weight, so I put some of that on. It's flesh eating. It's probably going to leave a scar that you don't want. So don't do that. But, yeah. You have to be a special kind of hater to where you mix drugs with flesh. And so I've always thought that's not an accident. It's not an accident. I always think that when stuff like that happens, like, you know, there's a flesh-eating bacteria, and then we start talking about flesh-eating powder that ends up in drugs that go to poor people. I mean, is that an accident? You know, we've got all this this AI, right? Artificial intelligence. So they're like, you know what? I'm just going to just kill people. If you want to be on drugs, we're going to give you that flesh-eating bacteria. Now, I guess the scary thing would be, like, if you, like, put some of that powder in like, condoms, or if you, like, put it on something else, or you just, like, you can put it, like, inside a sex doll. You, like, hitting that sex doll, and then all of a sudden your penis disappears because the flesh is eaten. Just a thought. I mean, I think of stuff like that. I'm like, you know, I could see that happening. It would not be a shock to me at all, because obviously somebody created this. And you create something that eats flesh. And these are laboratory things, right? So, and then you mix it with some drugs, some popular drugs. And we know that, and this is the poor white people. Heroin right now is y'all drug, right? That's the reason why we're doing all these interventions and talking about it's an epidemic, because y'all on that oxycodone and all those other heroin based drugs. So now they just mixing it. They mixing the flesh eating stuff, so they getting rid of poor white folks. But that's y'all drug. So next time you're at a sorority party, and you're by Harley Barber or one of them, don't accept the drugs, because she hates N-words. She doesn't care whether or not it's Martin Luther King Day. And she may give you the heroin that has Rizzy in it. Because, you know, they say, oh, yo, I got this Rizzy. You know, folks take the Rizzy because, oh, it just sounds cool. And then your ass just disappear in the bathroom, like, literally. You, like, literally disappear because your flesh disappears off you. Just bones on the toilet. It make, because you nod out because it's heroin. Like, you nod out. And then you just nod out. And then, you know, you don't wake up. They come in the toilet and, wow. You really have, like, disintegrated, homie. It's kind of crazy. But it is so realistic. Because it's happening. The police is warning about it. So it's real. Now, whether you are a conspiracy theorist like myself is a totally different thing. I mean, I believe that there are people who want to kill poor people. And specifically black people. Now, there are poor white people who don't think that they're on the chopping block. But, you know, rich white people have never liked you. They just use you as a buffer and make you hate black folks because you're dumb enough to think that they actually love you and that y'all all got the same agenda. Nope. Not even close. But hey, keep banging. Take that Rizzy. I mean, you know, I'm kind of mad that the officers even was like saying it. It's like, you know what? Y'all should all take that Rizzy. Go on that special flesh-eating trip. I encourage it. If you're a racist, whether it be undercover or not under the cover. Is there such a thing as not under the cover? Probably not. Anyway, I am going to go on another break. Because I said it was a Jean Grey night. Because I'm feeling hip-hop-ish. I'm still holding the line. I know I should want to be bounced to say left, right, left, right, left, right. You know, even talking like that made me itch. It's like, I can't get with it. It's just, I can't just say left, right all damn night. It's stupid. Anyway, this is Jean Grey, 232.
Ready? Come on. Rapidly rap like a motherfucker. Most of this here is just braggadocio. Emphatically spoken, impeccable rap flow. Second to that wordplay, akin to watching a bird hitting a pinata on the eve of its birthday. Uncommon like Erica, phenomenon hysteria. Hype rocks millennium, Shante criteria. Fuck the hearsay, please, jeans superior. Y'all yellow, same color of your bladders interiors. You bore me to pieces, your feces mouth. And yet, it's still shit if I mispronounce it, bitch. How could it be doubted? The beast mount of the pen, the unsurmountable like you being surrounded by the 10-man army in Afghanistan tent with a caravan of Carolina and New York feds. Bless me with a holy 40 bottle from your corner stopping. Fit all your model entourage so we can get you popping. I'll deliver your liver on a plate with a sliver of your shivering date. There's no mercy here. Put on your worst gear. You're fucking with the work career assassin who just gave the job to Murky on to Daily Planet. I'll raise havoc like giving Mob Deep a boosted chair. Stupid, I'm a cruise, I'm in the booth, I'm rare. Name Northern Lights, Pip Gang Dolomite. Flames all the sort of recordings, I'm giving all the mics. Slaughtering them like cattle hoarding a word. And then quartering them, leaving just to ring, it's absurd. I murdered just for the fun of the sound of bodies falling. I'm eccentric, I don't need white coats calling. It's just dementia, come on, quit your balling. You'll only make jeans, just slip your paws in. And then there's bloody hearts and jeans starts to thaw. And then it'll be ridiculous, your strawberry licorice. All
up on
my kids, mom,
morning,
snap picture this.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's DP, y'all. What up, Gene?
Where you at?
Right here.
Let's go. Come on.
Listen.
Come on.
No one. Turn on a beat. Just like this right here. Hey, yo. Hey, yo. For the record, I'ma keep spitting. Game booking and lead a game looking like a shepherd with a sheep missing. I know you've seen Dave on a lean spraying team, Trey schemes in English with Jean Grey. Raising canes, phrases slang, cause shit is foul in this flagrant game. I'm official, lingual assault, mangle wings of the archangel. The Grim Reaper's cane got my face and name. So I readily spray spoken, reppin' respray, hoping I'm steadily paid till heavenly gates open. Rhymes musical, I'm fluent through. Spitting lyrics, your spirit is congruent to. Nigga, I've been rapping, I handle that. Long as I got a 10 track and a camel pack, I paid my dues, never had steps. Used to stomp niggas down just to raise my shoes. Obey my rules, I face consequence from lower, third, the eighth continent come. One come all, the track is strong. I'm talking club with no glasses on. Cats is wrong, waiting on the rubber when his faction's on. Y'all niggas playing on a level that I practice on. I'm willing to off these, my aura still in recital. I'm killing them softly, like Lauryn Hill with a title. So drilling your soft teeth, filling the all creeds, revealing your flaws, chilling while filling your top bleeds.
Ooh, it's like you just got sun in grade school. So they looked at you like, ooh, ooh, you gonna take that? Yeah, you are. You gonna fucking take it home with you. I tried to tell you, niggas had some shit. I tried to come home to New York and tell motherfuckers. You know, maybe it's a combination of cigarettes that are not new for. Maybe if y'all motherfuckers stop smoking that damn fiberglass shit, you'd be as nice as niggas. But probably not. Because you can't fuck with us. TP.
Together you got the smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F. The N-Word. That was Jean Grey. 232. But she only needed 132 on that one, but... 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. Time goes by when you just, like, run your mouth. And, yeah. Time to win by. And it's like we came to that point where, you know, normally I talk about the hater of the week, and then I talk about Groundhog Day. But today, it's kind of like one and the same. So I guess I'm just going to run both of them.
Hate. I hate you.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What is this hating that shit that happened again? Well... Let me throw you on first. Hater of the week, Lizzie Dunn, 52-year-old, for lack of a better word, cracker ass cracker, who did something that we kind of used to. A white person blaming something on a black person. That didn't happen. I mean, it's like the American way almost. It's like that tradition. What's that, that for golf? They say the tradition, unlike the masters, where white women just blame shit on black people. And it is not true. And it happens. Like, I mean, we talking about in the centuries. We've been in America. It's like, somebody black did it. Lizzie Dunn, she told police that an imaginary black woman, it wasn't imaginary at the time, but an imaginary black woman around 40 years of age asked her for cigarettes and money. Dunn said then that the woman grabbed her and sprayed her with acid. She said she had a nice tone to her voice, and her tone started to change when I didn't have the second thing she requested. And she seemed angry when she talked to me the next time. She said, "Do you at least have the time?" I just kept walking. I didn't respond, and I think that triggered something in her. So, let me tell you what this cracker-ass cracker did. She sprayed herself in the face with acid and then ran into Rocco's Deli, a nearby restaurant, so she could call the police. And so one of the deli workers called the police, and she was rushed to the hospital. And she was treated for second-degree burns on her face and scalp and kept up the ruse all through the weekend. Told police everything. Now, after a thorough investigation, police discovered that she sprayed a homemade substance on her own face, and it appeared that she did this before. Other scars and injuries on her body revealed that this isn't the first time she's harmed herself. Now, I mean, first, we can debunk this one easy. Black women ain't walking around with acid in their purse, in their pocket. It's fucking acid. Acid burn through shit. So you think about a black woman with something that's going to burn through. I mean, because we know black women like purses. So you're going to put something that's going to burn through your purse in your purse. Probably not. Clue number one. Not going to put it in your pocket. Because most black women try to keep their tight. So it's like you can get some like some serious monkey action. Some what they call it, the camel toe action going. At the least. Clue number two. Because, you know, you say the majority of black women fit the stereotype. You got a little jump. Or you got some, like I said, you got that serious monkey action going. Three, you ain't got time to be asking white folks for cigarettes and spraying them with acid. Are you going to jail because you can't get a cigarette from a stranger? That's just stupid. I mean, honestly, if you want a cigarette, you walk up to a guy, hey, you got a cigarette. You know, with your titties hanging out a little bit. Or, once again, you got that camel toe action going. Or that serious monkey, depending on how you want to call it. Problem solved. But yeah, Lizzie Dunn, cracker ass cracker that she is, and hater of the week, and the answer to the question, who could be hater of the week and be the Groundhog Day moment all at the same time? This cracker ass cracker blaming black folks because she want to hurt herself. How hateful is that? I mean, you have to be super hateful. And I ain't talking about black folks who turn themselves blonde or bleach themselves. You have to be hateful to burn yourself so you can burn on black folks. I mean, you think about the mentality there where you hate somebody so much that you hurt yourself to so-called hurt them. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that's the craziest shit ever. I mean, when we think about practical crazy, I mean, because black folks, we understand racism, right? We understand white folks hate us. Just on a basic level, it's unintelligible. There's no common sense to it. It's just because we darker than them. It ain't no real difference, except for we darker than them. You know, we dance better, rap better, sing better, probably fuck better. And I know they'll say, "Oh, white women suck dick, but black women can suck dick real well too." And I'm just saying that kind of irrational hate that makes no sense whatsoever to make you burn yourself with acid. I mean, because I had to sit up there and think, like, she used acid. She, like, burnt herself with acid so she can blame a black person. I mean, that's as American as apple pie, right? The hate so strong that you will do some of the most irrational, craziest shit ever. You know, y'all complain about Trump. I say it is an American, it's American tradition. It's so part of the natural landscape of living this existence, that they do it and it ain't even a big deal to them. I mean, because you'll have progressive white people, right? Who, yeah, you know, me and my friends, we're not like that. And, you know, they were appalled with Trump and all this other stuff. But, you know, even then, some of them, when you're around them, you're just like, damn, cracker ass cracker. You know, the whole, there's how you talk at work and then there's how you talk amongst other people. And so, you know, I would say, like, how I'm talking to y'all, can't necessarily talk like this at work, because, you know, if I say a cracker ass cracker, they like, well, why are you objectifying crackers? It's like, because crackers need to be objectified? Because crackers by themselves are no good, only good with soup? No? Just missed out. All right. Anyway, the point is, you know, there's a level of racism. There's subtle, and then there's, you know, the reality that they come at you in ways that just can't even be comprehended. For example, there's there's a little study. They said that murders by white supremacists more than doubled in 2017. You know, saying, and I quote, right-wing extremists killed more than twice as many people as Islamic extremists. Now, we already knew that. I mean, because it's so ho-hum. We're so ho-hum about it where, you know, folks don't even complain when I've been saying forever and a day, like, when they talk about terrorism, they don't talk about the Klan, white supremacists. They say some people that I'm quite frankly not afraid of. I'm not saying that them folks ain't crazy as hell too, but as far as affecting my quality of life and my way of life, they don't affect me at all. I have no interest in the Middle East. I'm not trying to steal oil from the natural citizens of wherever. So it doesn't affect me at all. And if I had to pay a little bit more for gas, it wouldn't really matter. I only work like 6 miles away from work, so that just means that I won't be traveling, taking them long trips in the car. It's like pick your poison. The point being, you know, the only people who way of life Islamic extremists affect are the people who are stealing the oil from those natural citizens who and exploiting them for what they have. Other than that, I'm not really worried about Muslim terrorists. It's just not my worry. White extremists? White supremacists? Yeah. They are the problem. Been the problem since day one. And because they've been the problem since day one, we don't even talk about it no more. It's just like, it's just accepted. It's so. But it being common and it not being a problem are two totally different things. It's there. It's not going away. You know, it's not even subtle. I mean, they've gotten rid of the subtleties. So it's like, look, we hate you out front. That's where we're at. We're not going. But we try to hold on to the thought that, hey, you know, maybe one day, I mean, you know, we have sex with you, you'll like that, and you won't hate us no more. Nope. Have sex with them, they still hate you. Do whatever you want, sell out for them, still hate you. So what do we do? That is the question. I know the answer in my head, but what is your answer? On that note, I am Mr. F the N-word. This is another Smooth Drama production. You know, I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama. Smooth.